Hey, everybody, this is Bobby Walker with the Journey of a New Entrepreneur podcast. You also may know me from the Journey of a New Entrepreneur YouTube channel or Facebook page. We're just all over the place there. And if you want to get in touch with me or connect with me, Facebook's probably the best place to connect. If you want to see my journey, my life, and all that good stuff, YouTube is probably the best way to observe that. And then if you want some of my ultra in-depth, high quality, philosophical ramblings, you need to check out this podcast, and especially on Mind Dump Mondays, because that's when I just let you inside of my head, as scary as that may sound. Anyway, one last thing I want to get off before I get into this episode, because I'm excited about it, is if you don't mind, go review us on iTunes or review me on iTunes, because I don't know, it's a nice vanity metric, and I like to feel good about myself. So get out there, give me a 1-star, give me a 5-star. I don't care. Just give me a review, and I'd appreciate it. And today, I'm very excited because it's not just one of these episodes where I'm talking to myself and rambling and ranting and so on and so forth, but I'm actually joined by a guest that I'm going to introduce in just a couple of seconds. Actually, I'll introduce him right now. So Matt Smith. Matt, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining me. So I'm going to take just a minute, Matt, and tell people how I found you and and our connection, because you and I go way, way back now, right? I mean,
way back.
I think we met roughly 5 minutes ago, you know, so it's been cool. But I just want to kind of set the stage on how I met you and or we'll say discovered you. And I don't even know if you actually remember, so we'll see if you do here in a second. And then I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about yourself. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, it's perfect.
And then after that, we're just going to be two guys talking about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, whatever comes up. I have a feeling we'll have some value for anyone that's listening. and we'll go from there. So, it's actually funny, Matt. I started a YouTube channel a little over a year ago, and I was just kind of documenting my journey. And if it, you know, obviously any of the listeners know this if they've listened to any of my other podcasts, but a lot of my videos, they're not necessarily informative as far as like, here's how you do something, but it's just been more so of like, hey, this is just a diary. I'm just documenting my journey here. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was recording a video, and I actually went up to I don't even know why I was in my son's bedroom, but I went up there, maybe some other people were in the house, and I was just recording a short video talking about how, you know, the business was doing good. I was probably like in month 3, I think, when this happened. And it's like, I had a okay revenue month, and I had a great one. And then this next one was kind of sucking at that point and was going kind of slow. And, you know, I wasn't like being discouraged. I was just saying like, here's where we are. And then some person that I'd never met, and it was you, commented on my video, "Hey dude, I can tell that there's still daylight back there. You need to get outside and make it happen." And I thought, I don't know who this guy is. It's telling me what to do, but I hate it and I love it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've been able to watch a little bit of your stuff since then. I enjoy it. I think you seem just like a really cool guy and a really genuine guy. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to reach out to this guy, see if he wants to be on the podcast, see if you can add a little value to what we're doing here. And that's that. So Matt, why don't you take a minute and just tell, because I know you've got a lot of irons in the fire here. So why don't you just tell everyone what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So a little under 5 years ago, I live here in Michigan. I started a service company, and we do exterior cleaning. So window cleaning, pressure cleaning, gutter cleaning, roof cleaning. And so I started that a little bit under 5 years ago. And then kind of moving forward, really in the last year and a half, I've been freed up to start a few new things. I started the pressure cleaning company. You know, I wanted to own my own business, but I had no money. I had, I think, a couple grand in my name.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had nothing though. I didn't have a truck. I didn't have any equipment. I had never done any kind of window cleaning or pressure cleaning. But I knew this guy. His name was Josh Latimer. Some of you guys probably know him.
Yep.
And he lived about a half a mile from my house. And, long story short, I started this on my own, and a couple weeks into my journey, I get a call from him, and he asked me if I want to go out to lunch. I don't know if he saw one of my trucks or saw us online or what it was, but long story short, we became pretty good friends, and he was a pretty big mentor in my life for the first year of my company, and really kind of taught me how to focus on building systems and really get out of the mindset of being the technician on the truck So early on, I'm talking just a few months in, I recognized that I had to get the business to a point where I could hire somebody to help me.
Awesome.
So, you know, shortly after that, I took on a business partner, and, you know, probably made the decision not on the right, you know, terms or whatever, but it actually ended up working out really good for me and allowed me to get off the truck faster. So fast forward, we run right now 5 trucks every single day.
Wow.
And then I also own a marketing company. We do print and digital marketing for service companies all over the country. So, yeah.
That's actually really cool. I didn't know that you were a friend of Latimer. As you obviously know, he's kind of a he's not kind of. He's an A-list celebrity in our circles, right, for pressure washers sure. and window cleaners. And that's actually pretty neat. Now, how early did I hear you right? You said it was just a couple of weeks into the business that you made that contact with Joshua?
Yeah, probably less than a month, I would say. And, you know, he had invited me out to lunch. And keep in mind, I knew nothing really about business. All I knew was when I got basically right at the end of my high school career, I started a lawn care business for a couple of years. And, you know, I always was just me and one other guy. But that was kind of my only business intro to anything. So I was a blank sheet of paper. And so after I had sat down with him, and this is funny because this is probably probably 3 years before he actually sold his business, and they were smaller than we are now. It's kind of funny, to think back on that, but I was still, I heard his story and I was still inspired by it, and it kind of gave me something to run with, like, hey, this is actually possible. Because I didn't really have anybody in my life that was an entrepreneur, I dropped out of college. My mom basically thought I was ruining my life, my entire family. You know, I got bad grades growing up. It was just a nightmare. I had nobody on my side except my girlfriend, who's now my wife. So to have somebody like him I could bounce ideas off of and just be motivated by in the very beginning was, you know, it was a huge advantage.
How invaluable. It's funny. One thing you just said about school, which is really making me question the way I'm doing things as a dad here, but
sure.
I just heard a podcast, actually, welcome to the Josh Latimer podcast, everybody. I just listened to a podcast by Latimer this week, or at least I heard it this week, and he had a guest on there that said there's two lies that our public education system makes to students. And the first lie is that if you do bad in school, you're going to do bad in life. And the second lie is if you do good in school, that means you're going to do good in life. Now, obviously you can do bad or good if you do bad and good in school, but I think there's been kind of a common theme that I've been seeing. And I just want to apologize to anyone listening real quick. Got something going on with my throat, low production qualities. I apologize for coughing in everyone's ear. I'm trying to get away from the mic when I do so. I thought, you know, how true, because it's like almost every person that I talk to like you that's in these circles that are being successful, they almost all either did poor in school or just really didn't like it one way or the other. So it makes me feel better about my chances.
just to be honest, it just does not matter. Mm-hmm. Some of the most successful people I know, and honestly, I went to college for a year and I dropped out. You may have heard the story, but I was sitting in a business class. It was actually a marketing class, and the professor's teaching on marketing. And this is when I had my lawn care business. And I don't remember exactly what he was talking about, but in my gut, I could tell him, like, man, this guy just has no clue what he's talking about. And so I raised my hand, probably like I shouldn't have. And I said, hey, I'm just curious, you know, like, what business you own or what businesses you've owned in the past. And his response was, well, I've never owned a business. I've been a professor. And that was the last day I ever went to school, because I was learning from people that had never done what they were teaching. And so school, I mean, I think it's failing people. And obviously you have to do it for certain types of industries or whatever, but, it's just, it's a rough thing for me to really dive into, I guess.
Well, and it's something I'm struggling with, you know, so I'm a father of three. I've got, two boys and a girl, my oldest son, which, anyone that watches the YouTube channel knows him, Caleb. He's my business partner. He'll be 19 here in July. And then, we've got a 16-year-old girl and a 15-year-old boy, Eden and Aaron. And, but with Caleb, you know, he's going to college, and, you know, as he and I are doing this business together, you know, I see his financial future, not that this will be the last business that he ever does, but, you know, I see the impact on his life with this business being far bigger than the college side of things. And for full disclosure to anyone listening and for anyone that has a dog in this fight on either side of it, I did not go to college. It was a regret that I had for a long, long time. Let me brag for a minute. I'll be Al Bundy for those of you old enough to get the reference. But I had a full ride scholarship to go to a small school, not like a big Division I school, but I had a scholarship. I could have went to a small school, got a free education, and I just didn't go because I was stupid. I just didn't do it. Sure. But now with Caleb, I'm sitting here and I'm like, this kid's killing himself, and he's working, sacrificing in the business, and he's going to school a couple days a week. He just finished his semester. And there's a part of me as a dad, I just want to say, dude, just don't go back. You're doing the right things in life, because he's like, well, I guess I'm just going to do a business degree to help with the business. And I'm thinking, that's awesome. But then on the flip side, I'm like, I don't even know if that's going to help us. What's that going to do for at least our kind of business? But I also feel so irresponsible as a dad. It's like, God, I just don't think I can say, don't go back to school. There's just so much fear in my own heart of saying not to do something like that. So I don't know. We'll see where we end up on that. My thoughts are, he's doing the right stuff, building the business, and it's not hurting him going to the school. He's getting real world training, and he's getting some, classroom training. It can't hurt. So that's my thoughts, at this stage in the game. But, now, do you mind sharing, you said you have 5 trucks running right now. On your trucks, are they all pressure, like, do you have hybrid trucks where each truck does pressure washing and window cleaning, or do you have the ones that are dedicated to each type of service?
Correct. So we have all of our guys are trained to do everything except roof cleaning. We only have one roof cleaning trailer,
mm-hmm.
And that's probably the service we do the least amount of.
Mm-hmm.
But my business partner still does all the roof cleaning, and he'll bring a tech with him just because of the liability and killing plants and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, all of our guys do house washing every day. They do window cleaning, gutter cleaning. And, some of the equipment experts out there would cringe. But, I talk about this all the time in my videos on YouTube. I've never been an equipment guy. I just don't give a rip. I just make sure I have exactly what my guys need to get the job done efficiently.
Yep.
And the only thing I care about is finding out how to get more jobs and actually growing the business. And so, we love it. Sometimes we wish we could get rid of the window cleaning portion, to be honest, but we bring in so many customers from that down the road, upsell into pressure cleaning or something like that, we can't.
It's funny you say that. Now my business, I'm kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum as you. So technically I have one crew out there doing the work. I do some of the work. As a matter of fact, all day yesterday and then half the day today, we were out on a job that should have only taken us one day, but the water pressure was so low we couldn't do more than one thing at a time. So unfortunately, but I'm typically not out there, but so we're still a very small operation. But the window cleaning, I don't dislike it because of the margins and what you can make with it. It's just more difficult to do a good job on it. Pressure washing, you're just out there and you're just spraying water on stuff. We make that joke all the time. Caleb and I, when we were working together, we might have a big, $1,800 day with the two of us working, and we'd be like, we just got paid $1,800 to spray water on stuff.
Yeah. Now,
window cleaning is kind of an art, it's like it's a little more difficult to make sure it's right. And if someone pays you $600, $700, $800 to clean their windows in their home, and there's 2 smudges at the front of the house, that just kind of like negates all the other work you did,
Totally.
So I'm having that same type of hesitation right now. I'm like, is this what I want to attack? That's kind of actually why I asked if you had your trucks combined like that, because my thoughts are, well, maybe what I'll do is have a dedicated window cleaning vehicle that can be to, more of the artsy guys, the detail guys versus the roughnecks that like to soft wash and pressure wash and stuff. So,
yeah, I think it just depends how much you want to scale. For us, a lot of our house washing packages include window cleaning. We do that so we can, make more money. But It just makes sense for our guys to know everything.
I think it makes more sense too. It's hard, and again, you got to remember, you're so much further down the road. You obviously have training systems in place, and here I am. I'm at the point where I'm like, oh my God, I got to have training systems in place.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm in that mode right now where I'm like, it's why I wanted you on the show actually, because I was very intrigued by how you're doing things, because I'm sitting here and I'm just like, God, this is so hard. Being an owner operator is actually a piece of cake. And I'm just step one. I'm just a month, basically, or maybe 2 months into having two guys out doing the work. And I'm like,
yep.
And one of them's my partner. And it's already so hard, and trying to overcome that. Now, with your five trucks, I'm going to assume you're probably doing what? 200,000 a year with each truck? Or how much are you doing in your revenue, if you don't mind me asking so rudely?
No, to be here in Michigan, and I don't know honestly what prices look like all over, but kind of based off what I've heard is Michigan prices seem to be a little bit lower, but our guys can typically do, well, we have 8 month season as well. So our guys do about $110,000 per truck.
Okay.
During that 8 month season. I mean, April this year was horrible as far as getting work done. It snowed up until about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And so, you know how that is off and on, people mm-hmm. rescheduling, you have a full month, but you don't ever get it done because the weather's bad. So, between, April being a crapshoot and November being a crapshoot, it really kind of varies.
Understood. So, well, let's kind of change gears a little bit. And I told you, I'm not necessarily wanting to do episodes where we always talk about, the how to's and here's how you increase revenue and stuff. But, but people that listen to my podcast and watch the YouTube channels, they are obviously interested in how businesses work, and I'm going to take a minute and be a little selfish since I have you on here, Matt. Talk to me a little bit, I'm assuming you had a struggle with this. Talk to me a little bit about the struggle you had when you started scaling, you started getting other people out there doing the work. I think you said it was like within your first year, I don't know if you said you actually had that happening or you just obviously realized that you needed to do that within your first year. So how long was it before you were out of the truck and you had other people doing it? And talk about some of the challenges and struggles that you had with that and how you overcame those.
Yeah. So first year I was actually on a truck the whole year. And I was hustling, and it's funny to think back, but we used, we do a lot of postcards, and back then I could only afford to put them out by hand. And so I would work the truck all day long, get off, come home, eat. And then I would go out, and my wife and I actually would go out past dark, putting out these, postcards and mailboxes. Mm-hmm. So the first year I'm on the truck, second year kind of in faith, I said to my business partner, hey, I'm going to hire a guy to work with you this year. I have, we only did 43,000 sales the first year. So I'm like, I have no clue if this is going to work, but I feel like this is what I have to do. And so the second year I hired a guy to work with my business partner on the truck. And literally all day long, all I did was things that would increase sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that second year we went from 43,000 to 125. And so we survived.
Wow.
And so really the second year is when I got off the truck and when I kind of, like, had that aha moment, like, okay, this is like my opportunity to grow very fast. And just kind of went from there.
That's okay. That's super awesome. So year two, it's your business partner in the field, and then he had a helper with him at that point.
Yep.
And then how long was it? So I'm assuming they probably did the entire, I'm taking notes as we're talking and I just ran out of ink. You said 45 the first year. And then what did you hit that second year?
125.
And they probably did all that themselves, probably your partner.
Pretty much. I think that second year when we hired our first employee, we went through five or six employees that year. and then we ended the season and we ended up having to fire the last guy we had. And so we were going into year three with nobody.
Wow.
And kind of asking ourselves, like, geez, is this how it is? Like, we can't even manage to keep one guy. How are we ever going to scale?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was a struggle of a year, but it was eye opening.
So you go into year three, just you and him. What happens from an employee standpoint? How did you end up? I'm assuming you got a keeper in year three. I'm on the edge of my seat here.
Yeah. So year three in February, which we're not working. Let me backtrack a little bit. Year two, the last guy we had to fire, You know, we were working out of my house, and long story short, he had made some threats. And so we said, hey, you know what? We probably shouldn't be working out of the house anymore. Let's in faith go get an office. And so we found this little 15 by 15 room shared with an insurance company. Totally wasn't set up for a pressure cleaning company at all, but it was our spot. You know what I mean? We felt official. And so year three, we're like, hey, we're going to add another truck because that's what I think what you're supposed to do. I don't really know, but it sounds right.
Right.
And so I go and I put a bunch of ads on Indeed, and I start doing interviews in February. By March, I hire four guys, and
wow,
we've got like no business. And so again, I put my back, you know, in a corner, and it's just funny when you do that, how you just make things work somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have a choice, do you?
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So, you know, I knew March was going to be a little slow because of the weather, but by April, if I didn't have work for those guys, they're probably leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just made it work.
Okay. So first off, let me just say this, Matt, you've got like mad respect for me. I'm just a huge fan of people that they're just doers, you know, people that are like, you know what? There's success to be had and I'm going to go get it and I'll figure it out along the way. So just from me to you, props and respect. Now, you know, cause a lot of the things you're talking about, I'm like, wow, I'm living this right now. So you hire four guys. So what happens? Did you end up losing any of them, or did you make it work with all four? I mean, how'd that go?
Worked out for a while, for about half the year. And then one of the guys, long story short, basically upsold a job. They were there doing window cleaning and the guy wanted gutter cleaning. My guy gave him a price, and long story short, the guy basically said, well, hey, if you do it for this, I'll give you cash and you don't have to tell your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, our employees are supposed to turn in all payments at the end of the day. Long story short is he quote unquote forgot to turn in his payments and it was a Friday. So I said, bring them in Monday morning, first thing. And Monday morning, forgot to bring him in. And this was an all cash payment. Well, long story short, he stole like $400 from me, so I had to fire him. So that was like my first like trust problem with an employee. And I had to be careful not to let that kind of skew my view on people working for me. Because at the end of the day, I've got a lot of business mentors. And at the end of the day, nobody's going to care about your business like you do. And you're going to get taken advantage of. And as much as you put your time into people, and you give them bonuses and you have good company culture, sometimes it's just not enough. And you have to realize that they're not stealing from you. It's just they're hurting or whatever the circumstance is. You can't take it personal is what I'm trying to say.
You know, it's when I hear you say that, I'm like, gosh, you're such a better guy than me. Yeah,
because
well, it is. And I know you're right. You know, it's like I know you're right. But stuff like that's so difficult for me. And, you know, I've actually had very similar experiences, not with my current business, but when I was managing for other people. And even whenever I didn't own the company, it's like you work with people, you give to them, you know, you make sacrifices and that happens. And it does feel personal. You know, it's like, why would you do this to me? And, but I'll, again, as I'm listening to your story, you're inspiring, Matt, you're inspiring me, bro. You know, I'm listening to this and it's like, cause I know, like I have all the knowledge in my head I need to win and you know, take that for how I mean it. I mean, of course there's some tactics that I don't understand. There's some techniques that I don't know yet, but you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I look at it and I'm like, other people can win. Other people have done it. I'm just as good as them. I can be there.
Yeah.
And when I heard you talking about where you got to be careful that when you have employees and things go south, you had to be careful and not let that skew the way you thought about employees. You know, I'm sure you've been, you're probably not anymore if I'm a betting man, but at one point you were probably active on a lot of forums on Facebook and stuff like that when you first started, and those things can tend to be pretty toxic. But
totally.
You'll see, you know, in these forums that are dedicated to the craft, you know, so like I'm still heavily involved in like some of these groups that are, like guys, it's geared around building a business, but I'm not in like much of a window cleaners forum or a pressure washers forum, because those tend to be a little more toxic. But you'll see guys on there and they'll say, well, I've been a window cleaner for 20 years and you just can't do it with employees. I've tried it and I tried it twice and you can't get there. And I'm just thinking, no, you didn't. Well, you're right. You just tried it, and I'm thinking, and here I am, a guy that hasn't done this yet, right? I've hired one guy. He's great. I know he's going to be good for us in the future, but my thing is, like, no, people do this and they win. You just did it wrong. And and I've always got that mentality where I'm like, if I'm doing something that I've seen other people win at and I don't win, I know that I'm the problem. I know that it's not my market, it's not, the planets in alignment or anything like that. I just know it's me, and I can't throw that baby out with the bathwater. I can't say, no, I can't grow with employees. I've got my son who, you know how you feel about your kids. You love them more than anything. And then I got a new technician that I actually am just super stoked with. And they went to I actually made a video about it on YouTube a while back, but they went to a job, and when they left, the house looked worse than when we showed up. And I'm thinking,
Sure.
how in the world does someone
Yeah.
hire you to clean and you leave it dirtier than you show up? And I'm sitting there, and as I go and I'm trying to fix these problems, with the customer, because they were obviously very unhappy. I'm having these thoughts in my head. I'm like, well, I guess you just can't do it. You just got to do everything yourself, and people aren't going to do it as good as you. And you might as well give up on it. And of course, those were like 3 minutes worth of thoughts. And then I came back to
Sure.
reality, and I'm like, no, I can win this. But hearing you say you hired four guys, you don't even have the work yet, that scares the crap out of me. And I think I tend to be one of those guys that jump and then try to learn how to land. But wow, bro, if I can be so rude, you are so you've got a set. I'll say that. So good on you.
Well,
Good on you.
here's the deal. Here's a mistake a lot of people make, and I don't want to get into too much of the tactics, but I was talking to a guy yesterday. He owns a landscaping company, and they're booked 4.5 weeks out. He's stressed. He's got I think one, maybe one and a half crews, and he's out on a lot of the jobs, and he's stressed out, and he's basically saying, "Hey, I'm not going to take on any more work." And I'm like, "You're insane. You just like you're prob like from looking from the outside in, it's such an easy fix. You just need more people." But he's scared to death. He's like, "'Cause what if I don't have the work?" And blah, you gotta go for it sometimes, or else you're gonna always be in his position. 'Cause what's gonna happen is he's not gonna take any more work on, and then next year he's gonna do the exact same amount in revenue and wonder why. And so, if business were easy or if it weren't scary, everyone would do it. You just gotta pull the trigger.
Well, and I'm a year and a half into this now, and I've got so much more respect for the people that have done it. People like you that I mean, I know you're not like at the end where you're not, where you're hanging it up, but you've got this business that's working without you out there every day doing all the day-to-day stuff. And now I at least have enough experience where I can appreciate the sacrifice and the sleepless nights and the fear, just with the things you're talking about. It's like, you got guys, you got to make sure they have enough work and so on and so forth. And it's like, it's a nightmare. And I'll have people, I can only imagine you do, because I know you've got quite a following, but I get a lot of people that reach out to me and they'll be like, "Hey Bob, I've been watching your videos. I want, you've inspired me to do this. What should I do?" And I'll be like, "Well, here's a link to a video, and I already laid it out, and let me summarize it for
Sure.
you. You work really hard from sun up till sundown, and
Yeah.
then you get online when it's sundown and do some research and some education, and then you wake up tomorrow and you do it all over again." It's just that simple. I mean, we're talking about a service business, and these people, they won't do it. And then they'll say something like, "Well, your market's different, your market's better," or, "People here don't want to do X," or, "People here won't pay Y." And I'm just thinking, man, I
Yeah.
can't wrap my head around this. It's like,
Yeah.
it's simple, folks. People do it all over. There's like every state, there's successful window cleaners in them. There's successful pressure washers. If someone else is doing it and you're not, it's you, not the market.
Totally.
And yeah. So,
Totally.
well, okay, that's cool. So, do you have an official, built out system for training new employees, or how do you guys handle that?
We do. We have what's called a employee handbook. So when we hire people, they get this thick book that we've basically wrote over the years, and we require them to read through it all before they come in for training. And we do a 2-day training. So the first day is just learning the services, and of course they're not going to be perfect, but any new guys with no experience come in and they're assistants. So we run two guys a truck. So we have a crew leader and an assistant. So even if they aren't super comfortable. They're on a job with somebody who knows what they're doing in the beginning. But they go through that handbook. We require them to sign it. We keep it on file. First day, they go through all the training for, you know, how to clean windows, how to pressure clean houses, blah, blah, blah. Second day, they go through training on how to speak to customers. We have systems in place. We have a three-step system when they arrive to a customer's house. Different touches is what we call them, of how they introduce themselves halfway through, how they tell the customer, you know, they're halfway done, and that's the time they upsell any services that customer may need, and then how they close out the sale. And so we do kind of literally role play talking, like they talk to me like I'm a customer. They do it with each other, and that's an all day ordeal until they just really feel like they've mastered it. And so our training system probably is not perfect, but I feel like when they go out to that first job, you know, they at least have an idea of what to expect. And as you know, especially with window cleaning, there's a million variables that they're going to run into throughout the year.
Yeah.
But it's good.
That's cool. This is something I've got to get under control in my business, because I'm wanting to have my second truck on the road here probably in quarter three. And I've got a lot, and I want to build this thing right. You know, I don't want to just, you know, throw some money at some AdWords, get some business, throw some roughnecks out there to do the work and not get any more. I want my people to come back year after year after year. And I want to have my employees to be as, I want them to be able to be around as long as I'm good for them. You know what I mean? I want me to be the weak link in that relationship. And I don't mean that I want to be weak, but I want to bring guys on, and I only want them to leave whenever we've been able to impact them and help them grow to the point where they're just not going to be pressure washers anymore. They're able to move on and achieve their dreams and goals and stuff like that. So, Matt, I don't think you mentioned it at the beginning. Maybe you did. I don't know. But I don't remember you talking about this. You talked about your service business and the marketing business. But your YouTube channel is Service Industry Coach.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I started that a little under a year and a half ago. And it was kind of on a whim. You know, I'll be honest, I started it out of frustration, which may or may not be the right thing to do. But there was, you know, at that time, and really still now, you go on Facebook and you see ads over and over and over of people talking about getting rich overnight, how they work from their computer, or you hear people in our industry trying to give advice and they don't even have a real business. and so I was like, you know what, I'm going to start a YouTube channel and put as much free content on there as I can. And I'm just going to be real. I'm not going to, you know, be somebody I'm not. And, you know, hopefully it can help people, you know, who are at my level or under me, and, you know, let that be that. And it's gotten a pretty good response. It's not huge or anything, but, you know, I get emails almost daily, and from what I've heard, it's a lot of my videos have helped people or changed their mindset, which is, you know, really all I wanted to do.
Listen, I just started watching some of your stuff recently, which is when I reached out to you. I mean, I saw you a while back, started watching it, and I really appreciate your approach. I think you and I actually have very similar mentalities with it. I think the big difference is you come across as a really nice guy.
Sure.
Where, I mean, me, maybe not so much, but I have a good heart. I have a good heart, folks. What kind of responses, you know, have you got from that? So do you get a lot of people reaching out saying, hey, you've inspired me to start up? Or is it people that have already started and you're helping them fix, you know, particular areas in the business?
Just both, I think. You know, everybody likes a good story. They like to be motivated. They like to be reminded that, you know, it's possible. I think that's probably been the biggest impact of my videos. So really, I've helped a bunch of people. And honestly, from there, probably about 6 months ago, I started doing one-on-one coaching, and this was never my intention at all. But I had some people reach out to me and say, hey, what would you charge for me, you know, to call you once a week and be on the phone for an hour to help me with some problems I'm having? And when I say very little, I mean, I've done probably under 20 different clients over the last 6 months. And so, that was, you know, although, yeah, it's cool to do one-on-one coaching, that was an awesome eye opener for me. Like, it was just a deeper way for me to help people. It was really fulfilling for me. And I just covered my time. I wasn't doing it to make money. And so that's been kind of a cool opportunity, which is kind of where my marketing company arose from. And we can get into that if you want.
Yeah, but, no, please do.
You know, a lot of these people are asking, hey, who does your print marketing? Who does your, you know, digital marketing? And I would refer them out to people that we had used in the past. And they would come back to me 3 weeks later. Hey, Matt, I reached out to this company and it's been 3 weeks and he said he would call me. He hasn't called me. And so there was just really no good fits for companies that these people needed. And I said, you know what? I can do this because I know exactly what I'm doing. I'll just assemble a team because I know how to assemble a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out and I found the best designer that I could find. He does all of our print work and he's amazing. He's a freelance designer. And then I partnered up with a guy here in my community who actually originally was a realtor. And he grew his entire business off AdWords and Facebook ads. And so that's the part he manages. And then I'm the overseer of the whole thing. And I'll tell you a quick story. This guy in Missouri who I do coaching for, he started a window cleaning business this year. And he basically said, hey, Matt, he has another really successful company. So he had some money, mm-hmm. but he basically threw $4,000 at this new business in marketing this year. And his first month this year did 19 grand in sales.
Wow.
And it's insane.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, yeah, it's cool. We made 4 grand in the marketing company, but it's even cooler that we're changing people's lives because now that guy's creating jobs for other people. You know, he's creating more freedom for his family. And so it just kind of, it all comes back to being fulfilled for me at the end.
That's awesome. And I don't know if you're like searching for it, but just in case, or, you know, if you're looking for more, but how could people find you as far as coaching if you're the right guy for them?
Yeah. You can go to serviceindustrycoach.com. Or if you're looking for marketing, serviceindustrymarketer.com. So yeah, to be honest, I turn down a lot of people that ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
I just really only want to work with people that are serious about changing.
Yep.
And that's not me being cocky. It's just, you know, time is valuable.
I get it, man. Let me ask you a question. I mean, I'm trying to be nice to myself. I was about to say I tend to be a hothead, but that's not true at all. I'm a very emotional dude and I get very happy very quick and I can get very not unhappy very quick. But when people reach out and they want you to give you or give them your time to help them, and then you're like, yeah, well, you need to do X, Y, you know, you need to read this book. You need to listen to these tactics and do these things. Oh, yeah, I read that and listen, I already knew that. And I'm like, then why are we talking, bro? You obviously don't want to do this, you know?
Yep.
And no, I completely get that because, you know, you are trying to help people. You're trying to change people. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're just going to kind of steer them in the right direction. They've got to have that want and that desire to make the sacrifice and get out there and get it done. So I absolutely understand that and respect that. So I know you're married, and the reason I do, I thought it was funny. So anyone listening, maybe I should say all of the listeners out there, when I reached out to Matt, I really didn't know how to get in touch with him. I just reached out to him on Instagram, and I'm like, hey, bud, love your stuff, you know, let's do this thing. And and he's like, well, tell you what, I can do it, and my wife's out of town this weekend, and any chance we can do it? Then I'm like, oh, my God, my wife's out of town too. So, so it worked out perfect. So here we are, just two super cool guys, total winners, totally in the social scene on a Friday night. It's like 9 o'clock on a Friday night.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about window cleaning and growing businesses and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But wife, you got any kids? How, you know, what do you do for fun when you're not working? I mean, what's the why behind all this stuff?
Yeah, no, I have a wife. We've been married for, getting myself in trouble, 4 years now, coming up here on May 31st. And then we had a little girl 9 months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, so that's brand new for me, and it's been a lot of fun. But as far as hobbies go, I like to golf a lot. I'm a big golfer, a big hunter, and I'm into cars. So,
nice.
Those are kind of my three go-tos.
Hmm. Well, like I said, I got the three kids and everything. Mine are a little older. I'm not going to lie. In my experience, it gets easier as they get older in a lot of ways. It was very difficult for me when they were babies. Cause my thought was, hey, I've fed you. I've changed you. I've burped you. If you want to sleep, go to sleep. Please stop crying. You know what I do to you.
Trust me, I get it.
Yeah, but okay. Well, Matt, listen, man. Do you got anything? Here's where my very, very unhoned interview skills go. So far, I've just loved this conversation. I really appreciate you spending time with me, and this conversation's just been real natural and fun. But now I'm kind of like Ricky Bobby, and I'm standing here, and I don't know what to do with my hands, you know?
I get it. I get it.
So, do you have any? Do you got no magic bullets? I'm not asking for the quick magical fix, and it can't be work hard because Chris Lambertini has already shared that in a previous interview. But if you had some advice for some guys that either are going to start their service business or they're in one, but they're just maybe stuck in that phase one where they're the owner operator and they just can't seem to get out of it, don't know how. Share some knowledge that can be helpful for someone to get out of that first step or to even start the first step.
Biggest thing for me, I say this every single time, is go find somebody who's done what you're trying to do and copy exactly what they did.
Boom.
For me, that was a business mentor of mine, you know, obviously Josh, but even greater than bigger than him impact in my life was this guy. His name's Chuck, and he owned a pest control business here in Michigan that sold a couple years ago for $22 million.
Wow.
And he took his time out, and I would buy his breakfast, you know, once a month and take him out and just pick his brain. And we still do that today. And so you got to go find somebody who's done what you're trying to do. If you want to build a $5 million business, you need to hang out with somebody who's built a $5 million business, right? And so that's my number one advice. That's better than anything you can get in school, anything you can learn online. Just literally take exactly what they did, copy it, and I guarantee it works.
Awesome. I love it when people I respect and think are winning say the same kind of stuff I say. It just makes me feel good. I'm like, I'm on the same page with winners. So that's great, man. That's
For
exciting.
sure.
So, $22 million pesticide business. That's legit, huh? That's
Pretty,
yeah.
I think they were running somewhere around 120 trucks, and
Holy cow.
just insane. You walk into the warehouse and there's 120 trucks in their warehouse. I mean, it's something you like your brain can't even comprehend unless you see it in person. You're like, holy crap, like my dream isn't even near this big. Like I got to think bigger. You know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean, and I'm going to tell you just to share some thoughts as I think the call is winding down. But I got 2 more hours if you do. So what? However this works out, but my life's changed so much in the last year and a half. Now I've had some success in life. I made a decent salary, and I used to, the job I had before my successful stint in the security industry, where I was, making good money and moving my way up the corporate ladder, I was a forklift operator for $11 an hour. So I went from an $11 an hour forklift operator to the vice president of the Oklahoma region for this very large company, and it was 6 years. And I don't even know how it happened. It was like really a whirlwind. But even through all of that, I had such a low, self-worth, if I'm just being honest, such a low self-worth. And I always wanted to start a business. I was telling you before we started recording, I always wanted to do a podcast, but I always thought so little of myself. I signed up for the account. I use Podbean currently to host my podcast. And in I think it was 2009 when I reloaded this thing a couple of months ago just to have somewhere to host. I opened that account, what is that, 9 years ago, something like that? And I didn't even think I had enough value to talk to people, and in the you were talking about not dreaming big enough. It's like in the last year and a half, I don't want to say I've crushed all of my self-limiting beliefs because that's really not true. But I went from a guy that like just wanted to survive to a guy that's like, I'm ready to conquer the world here, and it's why I want to get around people like you. I hope you and I get to continue, get to know each other and stuff. I've really enjoyed this conversation, and that's what I want, man. I see you guys doing your stuff, and I'm thinking, whoa, 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 my $1 million goal here is just way too small. I mean, that's just not going to cut it. We got to do some things. And so I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate, the fact that you're just giving free content out there to help people out. I'm not going to lie, man. I'm not joking. I'll never forget that comment where you were like, "Hey, it looks like there's still daylight. What are you doing?" You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, "Who the heck is this guy?" Yeah, he
yeah.
calls himself a service industry coach. He doesn't know me, you know. But
yeah. Yeah.
But you knew me, you know, because it was you, and it's every one of us, and you know. So listen, I'm rambling and rambling and rambling, but Matt, I really, really appreciate what you're doing, guys. If you want to see more from Matt, if you want to hear more, service industry coach on YouTube, and I also know on Instagram. Do you have a Facebook page for that as well?
There is. I don't do a whole lot on it.
Okay.
Probably my Instagram and YouTube would be the best to follow.
All right. Well, check Matt out on that stuff. Great stuff. Go subscribe to him. Tell him that Journey of a New Entrepreneur sent you, so he can know that he's getting some love from my dozen of followers out there.
Right on, dude. It's awesome.
And well, listen, man, I'm gonna cut us free. I'm gonna let us get on with our wild and crazy Friday night. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I never do this, but get this. So anyone listening, it's about 9 o'clock, which is really late for an old dude like me. Now, I think you're a little younger than me. I'll be 40 in June. And I think I'm going to go watch Avengers Infinity War when we get off this call. I've already seen it once and loved it. And I'm thinking I've got my two younger kids in here, and I'm going to leave them at home and rub it in their face. And I'm going to go watch this movie without them, because
all by yourself,
all by myself. So, but I'm going to do that. Hey, thanks a million. And guys, please don't forget, check us out on YouTube, Journey of a New Entrepreneur, Facebook. Please subscribe, or not. Well, yes, subscribe, but please give me a review on iTunes. Cause like I said, guys, I make no bones about it. I like attention. Give me some reviews so I can brag to all my friends that I got reviews on iTunes. So y'all take it easy. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
All right. See ya.